Would you turn to the 48th Psalm? This psalm inspired Martin Luther to write the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a bulwark never failing. That came from this psalm. Let's read this psalm together. Psalm 48. Happy Mother's Day. Moms are great. Dads. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation. And that word means elevation, height. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. And thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, her fortified places. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Let's pray together. Lord, we come into your presence in the name of thy Son. Lord, teach us what it means to come in his name. Lord, we ask in his name that you would be pleased to meet with us, to speak to our hearts by the power of your Spirit, that we might be enabled to hear with hearing ears. Oh, Lord, meet with us for Christ's sake. Lord, accept our thanksgiving. You're so glorious. You're so altogether lovely. Lord, we are awed by your glorious attributes. We're so thankful for the revelation of your person. And Lord, we're so grateful that you have given your Son a sacrifice for sinners. How glorious you are. Lord, we confess our sin. We pray once again for cleansing. Lord, we're so sinful and we need your mercy and your grace and the precious blood of your Son so much. Now, bless us for Christ's sake. Be with all your people wherever they meet together. Lord, those that are sick, we pray for your blessing upon them. We especially pray for the Clark family, that your hand of healing will be upon her according to your will. Now bless us for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Great is the Lord. Can that possibly be overstated? Great is the Lord. Great in his person. Great in all of his glorious attributes. Great in his works. His work of creation. His work of providence. He controls every event. He's the first cause of everything. Great in his work of providence. Great in his work of salvation. He does it all. Truly, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. The city of God. The city of God. What is that? The city of God is the church. We're going to see that from the New Testament in just a moment. But here is who considers him great. Not all the world. The world has no love for this God. No love. They would wish that he was not the way he is. That's the thought of the world. But in the city of God, he is great and greatly praised. Now look what he says with regard to the city of God. He's greatly praised in the city of God in the mountain of his holiness. The church is the mountain of his holiness. That's amazing, isn't it? Christ is made unto us holiness. Every believer is a holy brethren. Beautiful, verse 2. Beautiful for situation, for elevation is what that means. How high is the church? Well, how high is Christ? The church is seated together in the heavenlies right now in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm talking to you right now, but I'm up in heaven in Christ Jesus. What beautiful elevation. Inaccessible. No one can damage any of these people. They're so high up in Christ. They can't damage themselves. They're so high up in Christ. They're accepted in the beloved, seated in the heavenlies, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Now, one of these days, the folks who don't love the Lord aren't going to be here anymore. They're just not going to be here anymore. And at that time, we're going to experience how Zion is the joy of the whole earth. Turn with me for a moment to Hebrews chapter 12. This sheds so much light on this passage of Scripture. Zion. You've heard of Zion. Well, what is Zion? Well, Zion was the highest point in Jerusalem. And it's also called the city of David. It's where David lived. And it was the highest point with its towers and so on. But it represents something. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 18. For you are not come to the mount that might be touched. He's talking about Sinai. The place of the giving of the law. You've not come to the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Moses, you stand before God for us. We don't want to hear these words. They're scaring us to death. That was their response to Mount Sinai. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain. It should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Do you want to be under that law? I don't. It scares me. Now, in Christ, I'm not afraid of the law. I've kept the law in Christ. But apart from Christ, all that law does is make me fear and quake. That is the response. But he said, that's not where we've come. But look, verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion. Now, we read of this so often in the Psalms. Mount Zion. That's the city of David. That's the highest elevation in Jerusalem. But look what it means spiritually. You are coming to Mount Zion, not Mount Sinai, the giving of the law, but into Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now that is Jerusalem above, not Jerusalem down here. Jerusalem down here represents Jerusalem above, where all the city of God is seated in Christ Jesus, the heavenly Jerusalem. To an innumerable company of angels, creatures of God, greater in power and might than we are. Scripture points that out. And I love the way Paul calls them the elect angels. The elect angels. Even the angels are dependent upon God's choice, these great and mighty creatures. Now, here are the inhabitants of this city. Verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Now, Mount Zion is the church. The general assembly and church of the firstborn. Now, the firstborn is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called the firstborn many times. And our salvation is in him. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to his image, that he might be the firstborn, the Lord Jesus, the firstborn. Now, that doesn't mean there was a point in time that he was born, in the sense that he's the eternal, only begotten Son of God. But our salvation is in the firstborn, the first begotten from the dead, the Lord Jesus. And I love the way the church is called the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. That's talking about the Lamb's Book of Life. It's got the name of every one of God's elect written down eternally. Their names are written in heaven. What a glorious thing to think of my name being written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Turn with me for a moment to Revelation 20. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead in sins, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Now that's what this is referring to, whose names are written in heaven. This is a reference to God's elect. Now this is the church, and I love this about the church. This is the church that never grows, and it's never diminished. It's an exact number, the elect of God, and these are the people who will be saved. I want my name in that book. Now, this is the church roll I want to be on. We don't have a church roll. Don't have a list of names of members. But there is a church roll in heaven. Now, that's the church roll I want to be in. Somebody that is a believer, well, you're a member of church if you're a believer. You know, I mean, that's the only thing I know to say. You know, what church membership? Well, if you believe the gospel, you're a member in this local assembly. But as far as a church roll, they always have to be revised. X this one out, add this one on, and all that. That's just nothing in the Bible like that. That's one of those silly man-made religious traditions. It's just not there. But there is a church roll. The General Assembly of Church, Hebrews chapter 12. To the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all. Now, God is judge. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful that He is absolutely righteous? And He's the judge of all. He judged all in the cross. The unbeliever was condemned. The believer was justified. He's the judge of all. He shall not the judge of the earth do right. And look at the way believers are described, those whose names are written in this Lamb's Book of Life. They're called the spirits of just men made perfect. That describes every believer. He's a justified man. A justified woman, just before God, without sin. And doesn't say he will be made perfect. He says he's made perfect. This describes every child of God. A just man made perfect. That's the work of Christ for you. That's the work of Christ in you. Verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Now, I love Christ as the mediator. I can't come into God's presence. He can. He touches God, and He touches me, and He brings me to God. That's the mediator of the new covenant. Oh, there's one God and one mediator between men and God, the man. Christ Jesus. What a mediator He is. He brings me into God's presence. God touches me through His Son. I touch God through His Son. And it scares me to even say that. I mean, when I'm saying that, I believe, I hope with fear and trembling. But what a mediator. Amazing. And to the blood, you can't talk about this new covenant without speaking of the, look, verse 24, the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And that's talking about the blood of Christ. You remember when God said to Cain after he murdered Abel, He said, your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. What did it cry? Vengeance. Punish him. Well, what does the blood of Christ cry from the ground? Forgive him. Justify him. Accept him. You see, Abel's blood cried, get him back. Make him pay. Vengeance. Christ's blood cries for complete salvation. Oh, the power of His blood. Now, that's Zion. That's the city of our God. Isn't that a beautiful description? Now let's go back to Psalm 48 now. Verse 3. Beautiful. Verse 2, beautiful for elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. That means it's way up. North is up. The city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Now here's the first thing I'd like to point out about that. God is known. Every believer knows the living God. God is known. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. God is known. You know how I know somebody knows God? And I want to say this carefully, but somebody knows God. This is part of it. They know who's not God. They hear a God that is not the God they know. And they say, that's not him. That's not him. We don't recognize him. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God of absolute holiness. That's not the God of absolute sovereignty. That's not the God of absolute justice. That's not the God of mercy and grace. The God who is love. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Now that word refuge means a high tower. A high tower. It means a place that's inaccessible. I love that. Inaccessible. I can't be defeated. I can't be overcome. I'm in an inaccessible place. The name of the Lord is a high tower. The righteous run into it. I'm doing that right now. I'm running into my high tower. The righteous run into it. And they're safe. They're secure. They're accepted in the beloved. Verse 4. For lo, the kings were assembled. Now the first thing I thought of was Herod. What did he do when he heard of him who was born king? He wanted to put him out of business, didn't he? He had all the young, under 2-year-old males slain because of that, because of the kings of the earth. Turn to Psalm 2 real quick. This is what he's talking about. Verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We're not going to have him controlling us. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Now, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. We want to get away from him. They didn't like what they saw. That's the point. The kings of the earth, they don't love this God who is the king of the earth. The kings look upon the King of Kings as competition with them. And they do not like this, so they haste away. They saw, and so they marveled. They were troubled. They hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. They didn't like what they saw. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be. Verse 7, thou breakest the ships of Tarshish. Remember Tarshish, where Jonah sought to escape to get away? Well, the Lord, who is, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? The ships of Tarshish, by his strong east wind, he breaks them up. You see, he really is Lord. And his will is always done. And there is no way he can be opposed. He breaks the ships of Tarshish, which think they can escape his absolute rule and reign. What manner of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey his voice. How glorious is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 8, as we have heard, so have we seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. As we have heard, so have we seen. God said, have I said it? Shall it not be done? I have spoken it. I shall bring it to pass. As we've heard, so have we seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Now I want you to think of how the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the city of God, is established by God in a permanent way. I mean, it's forever. God chose me. And this is true of every believer. God chose me before time began. And that can't be nullified. It's established. Christ redeemed me. You know, every Sunday morning, I don't know why I do it, but I do it. I always read Paul Prather's religion thing in the Herald Leader. And today he actually said, redemption means you can make yourself better. What? Where he comes up with his definitions, I don't know. I guess the reason I read him is kind of like when you see a wreck on the road and drive, you know, I don't know what else to say. But I've been reading him for years, and redemption is you can make yourself better. Okay? Redemption is Christ redeeming me and putting away my sins and making me accepted before God. It's not me making myself better. As we've heard, so have we seen in the city of our Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it, every believer, forever. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. David said in Psalm 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. He didn't say, have mercy upon me, O God, because of the sorrow I'm feeling for this sin I've committed. He didn't say, have mercy upon me, O God, because I promise I'll never do it again. He didn't say, have mercy upon me, O God, because I'm going to make restitution and make this thing right. There's only one plea for mercy. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Nothing in me. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Now, truly, we have thought on thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. That's the body of Christ, his temple. Verse 10, according to thy name, O God. His name is his attributes. His name is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, Jehovah Tsekenu, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Rama, the Lord our shepherd. His name, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. All of his names that tell us of his salvation. I meant to spend a lot of time on that, but time's out, so I'll just keep going. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. God's righteous in saving me. Not just merciful. He's righteous. My sin is put away. I stand before God without guilt. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. That's talking about the cross. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell her towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces that you may tell it to the generation following. That's our responsibility. To give the gospel to our children. That's the best thing we can do for our children, is to give them preach the gospel to them. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amidst the flood, of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. Oh, the bulwarks of the gospel. For this God, the God described in Psalm 48, is our God forever and ever, and he, this is his promise, he will be our guide. That's the heritage of every believer. He will be our guide right up into death, and then I'll be brought into his presence to sin no more. Beautiful psalm, isn't it? They all are. Okay. Why?